file memo.
Bond office test script.
Yep, 328 top, and then the last one is 300.
Yeah.
Then 328, and then there's some tables.
Okay.
And then this is the last of Trevor's.
That's the last of Trevor's. There's a
page
tables,
five of Trevor's.
Page two is the last of Trevor's.
Okay, so let's basically the table that summarizes it. Let's look at that right now first.
You want to start with Trevor's back
page? Let's start with Trevor's. Okay. And we'll go through there and what this basically boils down to, and what he did was he ran the. I'll wait till the bridge ready. We'll get to collating the second one later.
Second. Got it. I think we're good.
Okay. What he did was basically ran the model.
Okay.
And what this is looking at flow levels and determining an operating flow level where we would make changes in our operation, limiting second powerhouse to mid-range and going to either spill or powerhouse one. So, and the main issues here are juvenile versus adult. Basically, in his model, he set up the value of, you know, a common denominator value of juveniles versus adults, and for what he called, I think he called it a benefit. What do you call it? He had a name for it. A little bit. I don't see it.
Did you want to switch rooms?
Relative improvement metric is what he called it. And this is what we talked about the last time when we went through the model.
Just one quick question before we get too far. Duration for
forevermore.
Starting March 1.
Never to forever.
But this is a.
This is spring time.
Spring, summer?
No, this is spring. And if it works in spring, it's going to work in summer.
So can you define that by dates? Like, so you define it by March or by April?
You start, I would say you start as soon as you have the bypass in operation, which would be when?
March 2. This is starting.
March 2.
Yeah. No, you're jumping ahead.
Okay, I'll redact.
Hold March 2 to August 31st.
I just didn't know what we were talking, what our duration was.
Hold your horses.
Right,
we'll get there.
Horses held.
It's all based on river flow.
Okay.
River flow and the presence of juveniles.
Okay.
No reason to worry about gate walls if there's no juveniles in the gate walls.
Or there's no bypass in operation.
Right. So once we get into the March time frame at Bonneville, March 1 is when things all start there, and we get the bypass up and running.
Right.
Not many juveniles at that point, so we can talk about how we want to do it at that point. But as the juvenile numbers start to pick up, we're going to want to limit the operation of those units.
Yeah. Okay.
So we can pick a trigger. This doesn't pick that trigger, Doug. It's just more of if you have a lot of fish. And really what we're saying is from 0 to 215 KCFS river flow, you would run the midpoint operation all the time. Don't even think about it unless there's no juveniles.
Exactly.
From that point up, you would have to look at the benefit ratio. And that's based on adults versus juveniles. And what Trevor's done is these graphs, and I've had like no time to look this up myself, but he put in the relative improvement metric that we all saw in his last presentation. The line across each of these graphs is the zero line. So anything below it is a negative benefit, and everything above it is a positive benefit. And this metric isn't an adult metric, it's not a juvenile metric, it's just a benefit to fish metric. And we've kind of, I think, after our just looking through Gilbert's report, come up with about a 4% increase in survival by running the, for spring micro. So this is a spring Chinook analysis. Not a sockeye analysis, it's not a steel analysis, or spring creek analysis, it's just a spring Chinook analysis. So you can kind of go through and look at the 4%, follow the 4% up, and then where it starts to go or hit the line is where we start to get worried about whether or not we need to start looking at the adult versus juvenile ratio. And that's about as far as I've gotten with it. what Trevor's note was that at 250 and above, we're gonna want to really look at that ratio.
Yep.
Anything less than one adult and 100 juveniles is negative. So, you know, that's kind of a break point of one in 100.
Yeah.
And so what the issue here, and, you know, people are going to have to digest this. This is a draft, so look at it, digest it. We can talk about it at our next meeting, which is going to have to be a next meeting. And we'll have to determine what, you know, at what levels we want to actually, you know, we're going to have to determine how we actually manage this. If we're going to run this way, we're going to say, okay, at 215 or below, just do it.
Yep.
Okay, but once you get to that 215 level, then somebody's going to have to be looking at the adult passage, spring Chinook passage, mm-hmm. and the juvenile passage numbers from SMP, which we've expanded to populations. I know that's a difficult.
Did you then go back then and subtract back down to use the index number we got from SMP to come up with these 0.1s, 0.03s?
I don't know, but that's a good question, Tom. I don't know that. I don't know the details of the model. Trevor's doing this, and I was doing the other thing all okay. the last couple of days. So, last couple of weeks. So, yeah, I think that's, you know, that getting the actual how we do this in season is something that I still have to write up. Is sort of the FPP language, but. And I don't know how people feel with having, say, Dean Ballinger do this at the project, looking at the core webpage and giving us an index number, or that's really not his job.
We get it from the FPC all the time. I mean, Brandon basically gives us.
But who makes the call? Or should we have FPC make the call? Should you guys be looking at the data? Or should it be the Corps of Engineers making the call?
On our website.
Yeah.
The passage indices are available.
Right. No, I know.
And
I'm
in the office, they are.
So what, yeah, but this is this based on passage index, or did he develop a different index?
Well, that's the question we need to find out from Trevor.
No,
ratio.
It's based on passage. It's actually based on collection expanded to a population.
Okay.
So we've taken the collection and then done the standard, you know, FG changes.
That'll be the only question we have.
Fish ratio, fish, the passage, and expanded it for the spillway and for first powerhouse and for efficiency.
Well, that'll be the question we'll need to run up. Is Trevor's like,
yeah, some algorithm.
Is there going to be another algorithm, or do we just
right.
do we just change these back to
right.
basically take
right.
what we got
right.
from the
right.
FPC and then
yeah.
be done with it?
And easier to do if we can just look at it that way. That's a constant, yeah. which it is. I don't think we're going to assume some.
I don't think we're
going to
change FGE's
functional response thing on that. So
we don't have data to do that.
So I apologize. I haven't spent a lot of time on this myself, so you guys
can spend a lot more time than.
What's that?
A heck of a lot more time on this than I have.
I really haven't. I looked at it about 3 seconds before I came over here.
Are we going to be able to get our hands on this model so we can find out what's going on?
It's on the web.
Yeah,
on the web on the FPOM site or what?
Yep.
All populated with this?
I don't know. I didn't do this.
If Trevor was on, we could just have him send his updated
model. I don't believe it's changed from, I mean, it's a basic model.
Okay.
And it's out there on the FPOM subgroup. Web page for this subject.
Is that right, Tammy? Is it the current, the one that's populated with these data?
Probably not.
And well, she wouldn't know that. No. That with these data,
Trevor hasn't even sent it to, he hasn't sent it to anyone, but he has the model up okay. there, and then all he did was probably run through different levels
right.
on this to figure out where these checkpoints are.
I think the data are all the same. We came up with that last time. So.
The only thing that would have changed with the ratio.
Would be the flows.
Yeah.
Ratio.
And that would change the ratios.
Yep.
I don't understand this, so I'm going to need to. Going to need to spend some time figuring out what that, what this is.
No, I figured.
So
that.
what is the x-axis? How is that a percent bypass survival increase?
So
as I was saying earlier, basically I would choose Gilgris 4% for that.
Mm-hmm.
You can choose whatever you want, but you have to base it on something.
Okay,
let's
assume it's that. It's that 4%.
Right.
So
he was saying that if, like on some species, we assumed a higher percent benefit for bypass, on other species assumed less. So you can go to these same graphs and figure out what those checkpoints are.
Right.
Is what
so,
he
right.
Tom's got it. Yeah.
So that ratio is adults to juveniles, so that 0.1 is.
Oh, that's okay.
This one adult per
adult
10 juveniles.
Juvenile ratio.
One adult per 100, one adult per 1,000 juveniles.
Exactly.
Juvenile ratio, okay.
Yeah. That's what those are on the right hand side. I'm sorry.
So he's saying, in this case, at, you know, if you're looking at 4% increase in survival.
Yeah, one to, you know, a 10% would not cut it. I mean, never.
Well, now, how do we get a change in survival from the 4%? That's what this is, isn't it?
It's based on the data we have.
I know, but
that's what it is.
So how is it we are getting this kind of increase in bypass survival?
What he did,
okay,
he
I will go to the next memo.
Yeah, because if you look at there, he basically did, he did a 1%, he did a 5%, then he did a 10%, and with those 3 points, then he was able to make these lines.
Let's go to the next one. Quickly go to the next one, and then we can come back to all this stuff. The way I envision this meeting, comms leader, don't let me step on your toes.
Go.
The way I envision this was...
But, so you did bookend the Spring Chinook juvenile operation. Could you speak
Well, from 0 to 10, that's pretty much bookended.
What do you mean?
The benefits from we've seen from Spring Chinook, you'd assume basically a 1% or 0% benefit, no benefit or not, or you'd assume a 10% benefit, and then he looks like he interpolated and did a 5%, and that's how he came up with his lines, and he basically drew a straight line.
That wasn't my question. My question was, as far as species go,
right?
What are we?
We're just talking Spring Chinook right now.
I understand that.
Yeah.
Then what are you asking?
Well, there's other species.
Yeah, and we're just starting with Spring Chinook. And honestly, steelhead were less than Spring Chinook.
Yeah.
They almost showed nothing. Subyearlings would be the only ones that showed the bigger benefit. Subyearlings, honestly, from my standpoint, kind of go off this because we're going to have to redo adult fallback issues with that because part of the adult fallback issue with Spring Chinook is sea lions. Sea lions aren't around with fall chinook, so we're going to have to somehow tease out what level of mortality is caused by fallback due to sea lions. We do that with fall chinook. I don't know how we do that.
No, I don't know. For subyearlings in the summer, for one, Gilbert didn't determine a statistically valid difference between the low and the high, the mid and the high. So what are you going to use for a number? We do have a statistically valid number for Spring Chinook. Spring Chinook is going to carry us all the way through the freshet, through at least the beginning of the freshet when the juveniles start to really drop off. Then it's going to be an adult-centric operation anyway, which is probably where we're going to have to go with this.
Okay. Well,
from a Chinook standpoint.
Where this memo's going then. So you're going
to
say
from a sockeye standpoint, we're probably going to lose some sockeye in the process. And, you know, that's the problem here is that this isn't a fix. This is just a interim solution
until
we get this thing fixed.
Okay.
And I want that message loud and clear to everybody that this is just an interim solution until we can. And I've got talked to John Rarsich this morning quite a bit about getting the schedule for the fix laid out so everybody can have that. And that's what I'm going to have in my other memo here.
I'm assuming they're going to talk about it next Thursday.
So let's go into that.
No, well, thanks.
I think it's just a Spring Chinook issue, and it's going to be something that's limited by how many fish we get. Juveniles start to come in, then we'll say, yeah, we want to do this. We're going to carry it through until our ratio tells us that we should stop.
Right.
And that may
I'm
be
just putting on my hat and making this work hat and trying to understand what it is so
I'm
we can talk
thinking,
about.
Well, that's the key. Right now,
it's to know it's a juvenile, adult, sockeye.
Well, sockeye is separate.
Are we recording?
Yes.
Juvenile, adult, chinook ratio.
Right.
Ratio.
That's all it is.
And
right.
Then what we're going to do is that's just for Spring Chinook. And then we need to start talking about if we want to start focus on sockeye,
right.
We're going to have to do something a little different on sockeye.
Well, we might. I mean, if we see thousands of sockeye and not many chinook, but we're going to be kind of, we're going to be probably leaning towards Spring Chinook, so there's far more of those that are listed that are at the dam than there are sockeye at the dam. So, we can start looking at pit tag data and trying to figure out who's down the river. You know, that's the thing. So the second memo is the one I've been working on, and you've seen this one going way back.
That's where it started.
Looks like I still have a January 3 date on there, but it's actually...
maybe I've been around them for a while, but I haven't seen it. I haven't looked at it.
So, I can't help that.
I know you can't, but I'm... You're assuming that we're familiar with it, but I'm not. So
you need to be spoon-fed. Okay. You're going to hit me here pretty soon.
That's what I'm saying over here.
Then I'd feel better. It is a memo that's been out for months and months and months. I've updated it, as you can see, on January 3rd. I didn't change the date, but it updated again. Today, I spent quite a bit of time on it. Last week, I spent some time on it. And what I wrote this for at the very beginning was to start with all this stuff. Was, you know, we start talking about the operation and how we would put in the fish passage plan. And all these questions came up from POLR, from EPA, from everybody in the region. So I laid out each one of those questions. And then tried to write a paragraph or two that answered those questions or those or addressed those issues. So that's what this is. I've worked on it, like I said, several times over the last year, I guess, almost.
So in your format of it, where is the question that, how do you start out with your question, and then what part of it is the answer to it?
This is where the questions are.
These are the questions, okay.
Yep. Yeah. Those are the questions or the issues.
So each of these is bolded.
And this is all done, and since the last one you've all seen, I updated it, and everything that I updated is in a edited format.
Track changes.
Red line. Track changes, right. So you can go through and easily check out the things that you have not seen before, except for Rick. He's got to read the whole thing. So
you keep twisting that.
I do.
You?
Yeah, I'll
pretty
I
much. That's why you never admit those things.
I'll make sure you never come to another meeting again. So, what? I'm sorry, I didn't number each item after that, so I didn't put a page number on.
Where's your formatting?
Damn it! This is perfect, but you can kind of follow the text here. Gatewell Fish Condition Studies, what this is a review of Gilbreth's work for the 2 years, 2008 and 2009. And we now have a draft report, which I finally got a hold of today, and it is on. It is actually out there for review at, right now.
Nope.
Somebody was just looking for you.
Nope, that's not true. That's blank.
Okay. That's right.
Wrong beer.
Yeah.
And that it's on the Fitterwig webpage, which I didn't even know we had a Fitterwig webpage. But there is one. It's under FBOM, which is the parent group, apparently, for Fitterwig. I like that.
FBOM is everyone right
thinking.
Now.
Yeah, I'll remember that from now on. I'm going to rub that into effort. There is a new draft out from Gilbreth for the 2008-2009 study, and I've kind of updated this a little bit in here, and I haven't really gone back and checked every number to make sure nothing changed, but I was assured that at least nothing changed in terms of the direction of the data.
Nothing's changed. Yeah.
So there may be a point something that changed. So what I've done is I've gone over that, and Rick, this is where the 4% came from. So you want to go through there. That'll give you the idea of what the change is in survival effect between the mid-range and the upper 1% operation. So then I quickly summarized the smolt monitoring observations, and to tell you the truth, I didn't change this very much. Basically all it says is that the work that FPC did, and I haven't put the citation in there, I haven't even addressed this one yet, but other than to say that the observations that were seen tend to support what Gilbreth et al. Found in 07-08. So I'll add a little more to that, and I'll make sure that the FPC, that your citations are all in there. And in the end of the day, this memo will have all those memos and things that we've put together appended to it. I intend to have that. So smolt monitoring, the Gatewell debris, this issue, I did a little more thinking about it and updated it because I just don't see that that's an issue. The reason this was in here is because Project thought that one way they could address this issue was increased cleaning. That really doesn't make a lot of sense to me because Gilbreth found the increased injury rates at these flow levels when they had clean gatewells. So, one, we're not seeing that relationship, that it's only debris. But it is a flow-related issue,
especially
spring clean.
And if anything, that means Gilbreth's are probably conservative because during spring, we're not going to have clean gatewells.
And that's the other thing. You're not going to be able to, trying to rely on a project to keep those things clean every day.
We're in its high debris time. It's
not something that I want to buy into. So so I kind of shut that one down by saying that it was already, we're seeing that change even with clean gatewells. The next paragraph, I went into Powerhouse 2 turbine, the fish passing survival rates, and I dug through Skalski and Klosky and the survival studies the Corps has done for project performance standard attainment and put those data in here. And this is just basically to populate the model and to show people what the survival rates were seen through the various routes.
So you've got a minus 94.7 in here?
No, that's if you saw it with in color, you'll see that.
Oh, that's a strikeout. Okay.
Yeah, there's some strikeout stuff. Okay. So,
following up, has Brad gone back to you about our request on?
No, I have not seen that yet. So that's another piece that's outstanding. And I figured tomorrow or next week we'll talk to him about that.
Can you speak to that? What's the is that associated with the TRD or what's?
No, that's performance center testing.
Data mining.
Data mining. Okay. The idea was to have and take a look at the tell work because the question is. First off, do we have data of fish passing at midpoint versus upper point? Mm-hmm. Do we have, can we group those together and get a survival estimate for each of those? I'm going to probably guess no.
I'm going to guess that too.
Because in 2010, I think most of the study was done when we were at one or the other. The second question, that the other one's more about spillway, and that doesn't affect this per se. So.
Okay, the other thing that this goes into is the observations that we saw with the model and kind of speaks to our concern. And Dave was down in Mississippi
down here now?
With us on that. Yeah, right. I'm down in that new section there. And what that is just an excerpt from our report I put together after the December trip. And basically the punchlines that at the end of that one where you know we basically said that we didn't feel good about going to the low end of peak efficiency with the turbine units.
So
midpoint.
So yeah, midpoint. And the other thing was the midpoint and high. We couldn't see much of a difference between those two. So I mean, some people thought maybe high was worse than midpoint. Other people thought there wasn't much difference. Some people thought it was better than midpoint. You know, so you end up walking away. But everybody agreed that the low end looked like crap, and actually the whole thing looked like crap.
So I understand that though. We all came to, there was an understanding that low was bad. There was
right.
Ambiguity over what mid to high was, but we're settling on a mid, even though there's
that's another question we're going to have is do we need to get a definition of the midpoint?
Well, yeah, we've asked that question. Tammy sent an email to Jim Keel over in HTC, and the response back was, oh boy, that's going to take a whole bunch of time. Now, I actually asked him for that information back when I first put this thing together last fall or summer, whenever it was, and so I'm surprised that answer. But
so John had a meeting with
you got to roll your eyes on that one again because that's a big one.
Oh, I know. I'm a little disappointed because we asked in the change form repeatedly, like we need to have definitions of midpoint. And
so I think there's a bit of a misunderstanding by the TSP group as to what you mean by midpoint.
Okay.
When I talked to John, he tried to explain to them it's the middle. Just
right. I've actually done that in my table.
Yeah,
I put a middle.
That's how we came up with the middle.
One plus the other divided by two.
Exactly.
And the TSP group, the response back was, we're not sure that that's the, we got to figure out what midpoint we would recommend. I'm
like, middle. Do you not understand?
So because it's not a normal distribution, it kind of skews towards one end or the other.
It does.
So how are you blocking out the mid? Just cutting it into thirds of the total range?
We just stuck it to a flow when we did the operation last year, for example, because of all this confusion. Do you define it by a megawatt? Do you define it by flow? And I think we just used real-time conditions and then eyeballed it and said 15 is about what you get out of the middle.
Right, and I think we're going to have to eventually say middle plus or minus
something. That's what I was.
You guys are going to need a little bit of operational.
That's why I figure we're going to come up with a bit of a band. So the mid band is going to be around here.
Tell me to stick it, but why we're going through all this consternation and angst to cap it, derate it to the midpoint? But there, I'm hearing there's ambiguity.
I'm trying to help you.
So.
If you don't want it, I won't.
Well, I'm not. The argument on the high side isn't convincing.
Okay,
so
I will
not
understand.
Bring that up again. So, if you have the mid range, because the way I see it, you would need a little bit of flexibility to move back and forth. His head's going to change.
Yes. Okay, we're going to say midpoint.
And don't deviate.
Don't you dare deviate a millimeter off.
The way we did it last year is we did a. Incrementally with increasing waters, we went 0 to 25% and then 25 to 50%. So there was a range there.
You're going to need a little bit.
And recognizing that that's going to be different depending on the head. So it was, we tried to establish what that actual KCFS would be at the midpoint, but it was in the nature of that was more for the context of conversation.
I figured exactly what he tested.
Water,
That's why.
No, that's it. That's what, that's the other way of doing this. We just say midpoint is what we assume to be the midpoint.
Okay, but I thought we nailed 15 pretty good most of the time, and that I'm not understanding it.
He's going to get too technical about this.
And Lori got involved in it, so I sent her a message.
I'm not being clear in my question. Models and 3D things.
I thought death, was running the units above midpoint. I thought that was the death. I thought that was jeopardy. Okay, are we on the same page? Am I clarifying my statement? Am I being clear?
No, that's all right.
Okay, all right, jump on then. My understanding of previous operations is it's jeopardy, it's death. We're all going to die if we run units above the midpoint.
Only you die.
Okay, fair enough. But that's from an operation standpoint. That's why we target the midpoint.
Yes.
Because we don't want to go above the midpoint.
Yes.
Now what I'm hearing is Erdic modeling, written down.
That's for the turbine. That's not dealing with the bypass. All he's talking is conditions to the turbine. Because our concern was, their concern was the turbine.
Okay.
Was
like,
if we go to midpoint, where the turbine looks like crap, you could be killing 20% of the fish more than the turbine for the benefit that we're getting through the bypass. This is all we're talking about now is just turbine conditions.
Okay.
We're not talking how that relates to bypass.
I need to put numbers on these. But this is
you and your formatted.
Well, the problem is black and white, and I don't have.
It's probably like trying to operate Excel.
Yeah.
Okay. That? No, that's all I need to hear.
Like trying to operate Excel.
Oh, you are pushing buttons.
I'm pushing buttons. I think you started.
You are.
So.
Yeah,
the question
I'm
going to
end it too.
So the other question is, on midpoint, do we feel comfortable that we understand what we want midpoint to be?
Well, and I have a question regarding midpoint. So was your conclusion based on the Erdic stuff that we looked at, that operating, so I thought that, my understanding was that as with increased operation of the unit, those conditions with the turbine passage and the gate well actually improve at the expense of the gate well. So,
well, some people thought that. Other people thought there was very little difference between the two.
Between mid and high?
Yes.
Right.
Oh, okay.
So And the main thing was, most people were going, some people thought it looked slightly better. From what I read in your report.
This is the gate well?
Yeah. No.
No, just the turbine.
We're not talking gate well at all here.
Okay. Yeah.
All for the turbine. Some people said, it looks like things streamed out. Other people were saying, yes, but there's more turbulence here and that kind of stuff.
Okay.
And then to try to ascertain what maybe that slight benefit would be in turbines, most people were going, I couldn't. ascertain if that would be a benefit at all.
Okay.
So I don't know if your group ever came to.
Dave was down there, but he's been there once and saw one condition, one turbine. Mm-hmm. I've looked at a lot of these over the years, and what we've seen in every unit I've looked at, except Bonneville, that as you go to upper end of 1% and beyond that to what we call a best geometry, open geometry, whatever the term is. That the conditions in the runner environment of the turbine and the draft tube get better. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by better is we get lower strike, we get less shear, and we get less turbulence all the way through the system, all the way out into the tower.
Both draft tubes are fully loaded.
At Bonneville 2, we didn't see that. It was not apparent. Other than at the low end, it was worse than as you go towards the high end. After that, it was squirreliest thing I've ever seen. I called it the Frankenstein of turbine units because it looked like somebody just randomly threw together different parts and hoped that it worked. And it doesn't, other than the fact that we have pretty good survival. And I'm thinking that has to do with the overall egress condition, which because it's a mine channel or it's a dug channel, it's not a riverbed. It actually has very high velocities out through.
And very uniform flows because it's not got pockets. And
also, you're also talking, it's a low head dam. It's a much lower head dam.
And that's the other part of it, too. So there's a difference.
You don't have all the energy.
That. All the other turbines we've looked at, they've been high head or
like
they've been
at least 101,
which was designed a little better with the new runners. And so what we're seeing, this is just turbine.
Right.
And just turbine, we're looking at the mid-range, the upper part of it from a turbine perspective, that mid-range is where I would say you want to be or higher, but certainly not lower. So that's all you need to think about for this thing is we don't want to go down to the 25 percentile.
25
point. The first quartile, we don't want to be there because that doesn't look good from what we saw. So we want to be higher than that. And the gate well pushes you the other way.
Yeah.
It says you don't want to go up to the upper end. You want to stay in that middle.
Okay.
Now, I still think there's a band around the middle of middle plus or minus a few CFS.
That's the question is, would we say anything above 25% below
what's your upper top?
I would go with the middle and then plus or minus something that we feel comfortable with.
If that's something that the core can run with and they can operate that way, great. Yeah. I'm just waiting for the pushback saying,
I know.
Oh, we
well,
need
so am I. That's well, why that I threw it out there. That's why I was surprised Doug dove back at me.
No, I like, didn't understand what you're talking about. No, I appreciate that, and that's what BPALC is. If you're
they will.
Hourly, you have to have flexibility. But we were able to, but that does get back to putting the project, and Tammy, this was the whole local control conversation too, correct? But this was the whole GX program thing. This is basically, in order to do this level of tweaking, you got to pull the plug on the system beast and disengage and then put on local control.
Not local, it'd be on manual control where they operate it from the control room. Local control is when they're standing there
at the turbine.
Okay.
And so it'd be on manual, and they can do it on manual, and they're fine with getting teletypes and doing it, in season adjustments.
But I heard from a system, and then I heard the whole conversation. Like, go ahead and plug your ears with the whole NERC-WEC requirements, system reliability.
Right, and I've talked to our NERC-WEC compliance person who thought that we were trying to. I guess he thought that when I
Okay, sorry.
I'm going to get there.
There's a paragraph about that.
Two sentences, actually.
All right.
I don't know if I called it
not much, yeah, because I'm waiting for some information. I've talked to people about that, too. So as we go on, that's the next one, actually.
Okay, sorry.
Very, very good segue there, Doug.
Thank you.
The NERC and the AGC issue came up way back when we first started this thing. I guess it's July is when this
all
started
reading?
Out. I'm on page four now.
Yeah. It's bolded and it says NERC generation flexibility requirements and AGC programming.
Yeah. Okay. Used to be
NERC generation, okay.
Headings. What does AGC stand for again?
Automatic generator control. And so what the issue was, is we were saying, we want you guys to do this for the whole season. The course return was, well, we can't. Because that means some guy's got to be adjusting the controls every time something changes a little bit.
The big issue was, if we have this big power emergency, that kind of stuff, the system
There's the NERC and the AGC. And what I don't have is, well, how's that changed? Is it still relevant? Is it still an issue or not? So I asked John this morning to give me the information on that, to at least dig into and see what he can find out from the project level, because apparently from Ben, they've been able to deal with the AGC part of this anyway. And I don't know the NERC part, if there's a real limitation there or if that's...
Or do you have to take those generators off the NERC?
What the update is that the automatic governors are being installed. They'll all be installed by 2015. So for now... the digital governors.
Digital governors, right.
So for now, there's still some tweaking that they have to do. But
that's not just AGC.
For the NERC side of it, there was some confusion as to what we were asking for. And there was the belief that we were asking to shrink the 1% band to a 0.5% band and change all the requirements for how we operate the units. And so when I explained, no, we'll still be in our normal 1%. We just want to focus on the middle portion of that 1%.
Right.
It seemed to placate our NERC-WEC compliance officer, and I don't think it'll be a problem. As far as updating...
Keep feeding them cookies.
Yeah. As far as updating Bourbon. GDAX...
I didn't see what was in the cookies.
Anybody that's called a NERC-WEC has a problem.
We can update GDAX relatively easily.
Oh, you can now?
I know.
It should be.
So, from
it
what
should be,
I understood,
but I have not
when
heard
I
about.
Asked, because you guys inquired about this last year, and I sent a message out and said, what would it cost in time and money and personnel to set GDAX to operate, to focus on the midpoint? That would be done with our normal PMs on the system, so it wouldn't cost us anything more. It just needs to get into the schedule. Where I ran into some issues at that point was the chief of operations out of the dam had some
really
biological questions.
Did you remind him at that point that he's not a biologist?
And I suggested that while we sort out the biological questions that he had, I wanted to move forward with making sure we had all the paperwork for getting GDAX updated. At that point, BPA stepped in and said that they would need more information and have to go to transmission to talk to them, to TBL. Mm-hmm. So today, I dug up those emails, because miraculously they weren't erased, and I'm back to square one.
Good.
As far as getting anything done with BPA.
Because so
then the
like
question from BPA was,
question.
Well, what questions are they wanting answered?
You've been this year.
So I'll be working on that. But it seems from everybody I've talked to, aside from BPA and Chief of Ops,
We can North Chief Falls.
We can get this done.
Okay, well,
as long as we have the drive to push it forward.
What I'm looking for is CORE and BPA to fill this one out, because I indicated way, way back.
BPA does not support changing Cairo House 2 operations at this time.
Any?
Not for changing.
I'm not asking them for support. I'm asking them to fill out the, or just the description. Forget BPA. This is a CORE thing anyway.
Okay.
So CORE needs to tell us whether or not the AGC actually, all I want to know is, can we do this operation? If not, then let's go home. We've got other things to do.
Yes, I
do. So, and if we can't do it physically, if the CORE just can't do it.
Which we know they can, because they've done it.
I feel like we've kind of done
right.
The operation.
But,
did it,
you know,
but
you get the, you got to answer
the
questions.
And then it's always a, you pay the piper when they say, what did you just do for the last 3 months? You can't do that. And granted, we can do it because we did it, but that doesn't. And then there's always somebody looking over your shoulder
right.
6 months post facto.
Okay, so we just don't plan it.
Yeah.
So let's go back.
Do it again.
Yeah.
All right. Looks like SOR time.
Meeting awesome. Ever
so
occurred.
We keep doing this via SOR.
Awesome. Okay. Well, anyway, that's one of those gorillas hanging out in the closet.
But in the meantime, we can do the manual control, like Kenny says. We have the tilt type put
right.
in place, especially if we know that it's going to be for a big, broad span of time.
Right.
You don't have to send out self-tips.
Well, that was kind of the issue, was if it was a broad span of time, can the operators maintain this without having
right.
to continually be
they,
thinking
they
what's
can.
Up?
They can. They plug in the megawatts that they need, whatever.
Okay.
Because
keep going
despite
through.
What you heard at the meeting last week, our operators are quite talented at operating.
I know they are.
And that time of year, they have to butts with it anyway because of debris issues. Sometimes they have to back off anyway and soon turn it down. So.
I just want to make sure it's not a tripping point that says, okay, no, we can't do this. Because that's kind of what I heard way back when, is that that's going to be a problem. And that's what this is all about, is just addressing one problem after another. Now, the next one we get into is Powerhouse 1 Open Geometry. And those are all MGR units over there. And this rationale hasn't changed a whole lot. I went through the rationale of why we think the MGR operation is... Well, I went in for Dave's benefit. I went into it and kind of went through the peak efficiency, where peak efficiency operation came from and why. And then I went into why we think operating above the peak efficiency band by a certain amount, up to this open geometry or this best geometry or whatever you want to call it, is at least in my mind and a bunch of others, folks out there, no worse, and possibly better.
At Powerhouse
1, Bonneville, most dams you wouldn't do this at. Bonneville, maybe McNary. So this is...
Well, we tried to McNary.
There's another issue there, but for the units, I think it's a good thing.
Oh, yeah,
that's all I'm talking here is turbines.
You pull the
gate
well. Out,
forget your gate well stuff. We're just talking turbines here. I think that it's a better... It's as good... if not better operation, allows us some flexibility to be used in cases like this. And I've gone through that. I've updated it with a little bit more of information because I left it dangling at my last run. I had like a half a sentence. So I went ahead and filled that in.
And that's the table.
That's just the pressure part of
and
it.
And that's the table you presented that Jim Keeler, you guys put together that is in the change form in the FPP.
Right, right.
That table outlines your... potential operations for Power Hospital.
Yeah, it just talks about it. This is the why. This is the pressure issues. We don't want to go. You know, I keep hearing people say, well, why don't we just go all the way to generator limit? Why? Because it's a pressure issue. And Martin Ahman, the guys who really push hard for this operation, are also concerned about going too high. And that too high isn't generator limit. It's somewhere in between where we get into these pressure levels that we feel uncomfortable with. So one way to define that is not to go above the best geometry point. As long as you don't go above that, you're not into that range. The other part of it is you may, even best geometry point, may be too high if the head is too high. So you got a summertime condition, real low tail waters, then you have higher pressures. So that could be the other side of this thing that we have to be careful that we don't go in that. So that's a definition that Jim Keel was going to do in his table, and I haven't had a chance to really look at it, see where he limited that. But this is the reason why.
One of the things that's going to go down that data mining process is going to be survival open geometry too, to see if we even have enough data.
Right. That was the other part of the data mining.
Yep. Helpful.
Hopefully, yeah. There was the one Normando study, balloon tank study. I realize there are all kinds of caveats there, but it did at least show that there wasn't a difference between those two operating levels. And actually, the point is, it was better for open geometry. Whatever that's worth.
I think it's just a habit now. They call it best geometry. It's almost too late to change it to best operating point.
Oh, I doubt it. We used to call them temporary spillways and top spillways, and we changed the name from both.
Yeah, that's hard. Once you start down the road, especially for rocketers like me. Okay, so then the next thing I put in there, just added, was the Powerhouse 1 turbine survival information from Plosky and Skalski for the survival studies. I just put that in there just as a reference. If folks were wondering, it doesn't really have much to do with the operating level. It's just as if you're wondering what survival ought to be for those routes of passage for those years, or what we measured, I put them in there. Just again, I stuck them in the second Powerhouse write-up, so I put them in here as well. Then we go on to the juvenile or the adult passage concerns, and that's been more Trevor's area. He's been working on that, and the rest of you guys have too.
So why are the turbine survival estimates so different? Am I reading this the wrong way?
Of Chinook versus Steelhead?
Well, it says, okay, so 2010-2011 Powerhouse 1 turbine survival for Spring Chinook, 98.7, 96.8. Same years for Steelhead, 90.93. And then the last sentence says, turbine passage estimates for 2010, yearling Chinook and Steelhead were 77 and 59.
Those are efficiencies.
That's efficiency. Okay. Yeah. That's what I was missing.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then I couldn't.
It's either 90 or it's 50, and it's not.
Yeah. There, I'm sure there's an efficiency for 11, the data I had, which was the table that Brad sent me. Didn't have it. Where are we? We're on this paragraph. The one on. It's just an add-on table for turbine survival data from the. Performance standard studies.
Maybe there were different studies.
Is spillway survival from those same reports, is that reported anywhere in here?
You know, that would be another, you know, that I should have that in here too somewhere, because that is going to be an issue. People are going to talk about that. Mm-hmm. And that's why actually I was thinking about first Powerhouse being in here, because you start thinking, well, gee, you know, what's the survival through that Powerhouse versus the second Powerhouse? Are they equal? You know, and then spillway 2 is actually lower in several instances. Yeah. So that's going to come up as an issue down the road.
Well, but that's why we need a tail work to see where the spillway is. Is it the whole spillway, or was it where the holes were that were since fixed?
And Trevor's model takes that into consideration too. So,
take a look at that.
Okay, the adult part of this, I'm a little less. I did some write up in here.
I see no changes.
And where is it? Not much. Actually, I didn't change anything.
Nope.
I'm sorry. Yeah, that was. That one I still have yet to dig into and go through your guys' report and Dave Benner's stuff. And I really don't know what to say. You know, it's almost like, really not seeing a whole lot of change given.
Yeah.
The problem is B-branch.
B-branch. Jared and I talked about this morning, and I don't know.
Levels everything.
How do we. I don't know how you subtract
something. We know there's a relationship. But V-branch masks it completely during the spill season. So it's almost like it's a relationship that's really small when you have a lot of spill. If you don't have spill, it's really apparent. And we're going to have a lot of spill during the time we're doing this operation. Yeah. So it's really, as Trevor said, under a lot of conditions, we would probably choose to continue to do the operation. Adults won't affect it. And then again, that's the work the Trevor did, so we'll get back to that. So I'm just going to jump on to dissolved gas. And what I did here, though you guys, Agnes isn't here, I wrote this up based on a discussion with Agnes when she was with Oregon originally, and that's what's all crossed out, because I obviously got it wrong after talking with her afterwards. And then
was
thinking,
that after she took a new job?
Yeah.
I'm not going to say anything. But
while she was within a week or so of Oregon, so you know, she wasn't totally brainwashed at that point.
Those lobotomies happen pretty quick.
They do, yeah.
In fairness to Agnes, she told me this before she went over.
Yeah. Well, I'm Agnes. I have no problem with her. She's level. What I did though is Paul and I, Wagner and I, sat and talked about this yesterday. What day is today? I don't even know. And I, it kind of gelled in my head what I needed to say here. So I wrote this up. And really what I'm saying is that we have a limitation. It's a voluntary limitation at all of our powerhouses of a 1% peak efficiency max. We don't exceed that because of gas, unless we have a big regional discussion about it. That's for fish safety. This is the same issue. We're dropping that to the midpoint at Powerhouse 2 because of fish safety, the same reason. And the biological opinion says, operate turbines for best passage, best fish passage.
Achieve best not fish passage.
Not for 1%. Yeah, achieve the best sap passage survival. That's what it says. And it says that intentionally. I wrote it. And I meant it to say that it wasn't just 1%. Well, I wrote the original efficiency.
I know.
And that goes back to 2008. Yeah, quarter, that'll get me what? Not even a cup of coffee.
Put a piece of bubble gum in a machine.
So what'd you have to say then in your discussion?
So I just said, you know, basically it says just that, and I, you guys will, and I know Division and BPA are going to chew on this one and spit it out, but this is the way it
well,
is.
Not even reading this and just hearing what you said, I would agree with that so long as the derating, because to me, that was
it has to be a regional really decision.
A regional decision that's right. Derated, and then you right. Say that, as you suggested, it's for fish passage, and that it's bad under the current range. Here's the new range. We're derating units. Have a nice day. It's
that's
just
right.
With narrow band. So
we're going to get a fight on that, though.
I don't. Yeah,
you know, it won't happen.
Just saying,
but the rationale, the logic, I think, is sound. Well, I know it's sound. I mean, having written this thing up, written the 1% and the biop. You know, that was the intent, was to run the turbine units in a way that was best for fish. That's what we wanted. We didn't want to be confined to the 1%. Because in that, you know, in the meantime, until we define differently, it is 1%. But if we can define something better, the intent of the biop was
right.
To do that.
Right.
So that's what I'm trying to lay out here is that's, you know, it shouldn't be just, oh, we're over 120, we got to stop. That's not the case. We need to have that discussion.
Well, right. I mean, it's just...
But
it's
that's not an automatic...
I agree with you. It's just to get there, you were totally changing that, shifting the paradigm. So, okay.
Gotcha. I know. Generator, let's see, what do we go into? Bonneville generator, generation limits, and I completely redid this. And I have to catch up. Oh, I know. This is all based on Scott's write-up.
Yeah.
So what I did was paraphrase Scott's.
This is all the new line limitation.
And I need to give him credit for that in here too. That I mean, I paraphrased his document, and his document will be appended to this as well as the FPC and all the other documents out there.
Okay.
And then, we get to the schedule for the fix, which, you know, I'm waiting for. John and I talked this morning, John Marisich and I talked this morning. He's going to get me a write-up that I can put in for that, which will give schedules, will give all the proper names for the programs the Corps has, the slot filler turds, you know.
Sure, reduction devices.
And what they're expected to give us, and what we would do with those data, and what the program, the Gatewell Improvement Program that is out there is going to address, and what its schedule.
Do you have? Did he shed light on any of those?
No.
No.
He's
going to
give me all
that
information. Well, I can tell you the overall. Here's the way it's working. They've got the slot fillers. I'm not going to call them.
Come on,
say it. You can say fart too.
Yeah.
You can do it.
It'll come back to me, and then it'll be a different sentence.
So slot fillers.
So the slot fillers are out there. Will be put out there this in March, I believe, is the schedule for that.
Yep.
They're going to put them in. What the intent is just to evaluate the hydraulics associated with putting those things in. Not the biology. You're going to put some.
We're just going to confirm.
Confirm that it works, right?
So slot
fillers. Then they're really not the fix. They're just something to check what they can do with some other type of fix.
Do what they see in the model. Show itself in real life.
Right now, and so what all this means in terms of fish survival is still questionable at that point.
Because then you'd have to go to your biological study if you saw an acceptable change.
And you have to have something that you're actually going to implement, which slot fillers are not those because they would take. a whole lot of work. You've got 24 gate wells, and two of those for each gate well, and each one is 30 feet high or whatever.
24 gate wells, don't you have?
Three times eight.
Oh, that's right, they're only 8 years,
I did the same thing yesterday. I came up with 33, and I was like, wait a minute.
No, that's not right.
And then did you give an update on the update of the turbines reduction device, or any update on that, or is that forthcoming through Fitterweek?
The which?
The
turbulence reduction.
They're the same thing.
Yeah. Slop filler and the turbines
are the same thing. Okay. He doesn't like call them turds. I have no problem with calling them
turds.
Right.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have a problem with that.
Okay.
Yeah.
I call. You get to capitalize.
The March Evelo, that was just
Toyota Racing Development.
That's just
the
one.
TRD
doesn't
have
it. Okay.
So
well, actually, no. We're supposed to be two. We're doing two gate wells with the TRDs.
Two slots.
Yeah.
Two slots,
and then there's supposed to be some. There is some fish.
If the hydraulic benefit is shown.
If
you demonstrate a hydraulic benefit, then you do a biological benefit.
So that's that, and I think really that last paragraph and this whole thing is the real key to me. All this stuff we're doing is...
Well, you're just trying to leverage to actually get them to do something.
I really want that to get... We need to fix the problem. You know, this operational stuff should go away.
Who started this problem?
Well, you agreed.
No, I didn't.
You were there.
I said, you're spending $17 million on this? Really?
Really?
For a minimal benefit, which turned out to be a negative? And that's why I've been here too long.
Here's where we are.
If you listen to me, we wouldn't have a bypass.
So, look over it. We'll get this out to everybody in a Word document so you can look at something other than this.
Sooner will it be a while? This in draft form? Soon.
It's in draft form. He sent it out.
I sent it to Tom. I don't know, Tom, if you want to forward it on to the subgroup.
Well, that was the question is, are we going to see stuff that we're going to get into the next couple of days? If we're not, then I'll send it out.
Send it out now. I'm going wall to wall tomorrow, and I won't be back.
Doing the thing.
One of the things that might be helpful to include in this, just for reference, is the table and FPP change form with the new best operating points for Bonk.
Yeah.
So people can have a number of what that looks like.
We can attach it.
Yeah.
Yep.
I thought I actually had it.
Email, Mr. Chair.
Yes.
So what's the? I'm sure you're going here, but so you send that email out, and then what? Mm-hmm. Since this is our last meeting,
you thought this was gonna be last?
You're so optimistic. On the email, it said this was the last one. So
I had delusions that way too.
Yeah, we all did.
And the problem is with BPA not being here. That's part of the problem. The one thing
well,
I think
so much though, like just seeing this broke up the chunking wise. I mean, the dumb Doug questions about okay start times end times. I mean, you can see the writing on the wall. I mean, it's just chunking up to what flow conditions would this be an issue, and then being able to quantify what the hit is.
You first look at the flow, then you're going to go back and say, okay, what are the adults versus the juveniles? Are we at a point where we would do the benefit? If we are, i.e., there's enough juveniles there to make the benefit, then you argue. What do you do? And then you get down to the argument of where does the flow go?
Right, but I would just look at that through the windows of juvenile passage versus the adult issue and then marrying that up with hydraulic capacity and then figuring out when it might or might not be an issue. Because looking at the numbers just at a quick glance, I mean, so the 0 to...
215. You just do it.
Yeah, you're already doing it because you have hydraulic capacity at the project well in excess of that. So there, it's a non-issue. And then is it...
Mm-hmm. As you bring up first powerhouse, that's when it becomes more and more of an issue. And then you really need to pay attention to your ratios.
Yeah. Right. I mean,
the ratio argument, you do it. Yep. When their 8 ratio says you don't do it, at some point...
At the first checkpoint, basically, it's like you go to midpoint full powerhouse plus spillway, whatever number that is, depending on your head and forebay and how many units you have running at powerhouse 2. Then the next question will be is, do we go to powerhouse 1, or do we go back to powerhouse 2 and start loading that back up to 1%?
Yeah.
That's when your first checkpoint is, when you look at that, is like, if that's early season when you have no adults and some juveniles, you probably would just go to powerhouse 1. If, however, it's later in the season when your juvenile numbers have dropped a lot, but your adults are huge,
then you would go,
let's go back to powerhouse 2 and ramp that back up instead of going to powerhouse 1. Now, where the kerfuffle is going to be is when you're well above that and you're kind of in between both, where you have a fair number of adults and a fair number of juveniles.
Yeah.
And you start having your hydraulic capacity above that.
Spill.
Well, that would be the logical thing, but logic does not mean much.
I know, but I think that we still need to put the logical thing in there. I mean,
just even knowing that the passage index is probably the wrong number to use, what are the adult to juvenile daily
ratios?
Ratios, because
it's based on the collection number. collection. You get a sample, you get a collection.
It's based on
you
the
get
collection.
An index. I would not use. I've been using the index way back.
It was 3 weeks ago when we met.
Well, yeah, and then he went through, and you came up with one way. Trevor went and looked at FTE, and you guys came to basically, you guys both seemed to agree on about the correct, what came out to a much more statistical number.
We're trying to get a population of...
Let's calculate that on a daily basis.
And that's when you look at Trevor, is did he figure out what that is and then back calculate to collections and change that, or did he leave it at that number he came up with and then?
I don't think you have to have a real number to do this. He modeled four different ratios.
Yeah.
But if we find out that the adult to juvenile ratio on average throughout the season is something like 0.0001,
right.
Why are we looking at 0.1?
Yeah, right. Because
he did a range.
Where is reality in that range?
Where is reality in the range of four ratios?
I don't think it's 0.1, for sure.
No,
pretty sure it's not, and that's why I'm kind of looking, because am I reading this right? If you look at even the first graph...
Well, it could be at certain times of the year.
If you look at the first graph,
but
at 235...
Not very long.
One of the ratios...
One
of the
juveniles for each adult? Yeah, that's not going to last very long.
No.
There's always beneficial.
Yeah, but start later in September.
July, maybe?
But then September, spill goes off and you're done.
Whereas if it's...
it's early season. That's where you have to think about that.
Because that's
the different ranges that are tested. Can we get back to the question I asked earlier, and that is, what is generating these bypass survival increases?
Those are just estimates.
Nothing. You put them in yourself.
He put them himself.
You're assuming operating at one at the mid range is going to increase your bypass survival by 1%, 4%, or sorry, 5%.
So it's an increase over operating at the upper end?
No. It's just saying here's a range of possible benefit that you could see.
Yes.
No, you're right.
Or change in bypass survival.
Rick's right.
It says simply the
difference that was observed between operating at the midpoint and operating at the upper end at 1%. So that's the survival difference that we're assuming would
that's
get.
You're assuming what you're
that
get.
Needs to be explained in here.
That's fine.
Gary was saying use 4% as a guideline.
So if I'm reading this correctly,
probably just wire it.
If I'm reading the 235 correctly,
now
what we're saying is if the juvenile to adult ratio
is that we can spread species
is
either, oh for cohorts
0.01 or 0.001, there's a benefit always to doing this.
You just want to be careful at the low end.
I understand.
Yeah.
But if the juvenile to adult ratio is 0.1, there's basically never a benefit unless maybe you could argue that there's a 10% survival increase.
Right.
That's the way you read these.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, okay.
Yes,
well done.
So what I'm saying is
the juvenile to adult ratio is probably not
very close at all to 0.05 and 0.1. So my point is...
It matters.
Like, it does matter. Because it almost... I mean, these graphs basically... Just reality in my mind, I think the juvenile to adult ratio is going to be closer to 1 in 1,000.
Oh, yeah.
And so, if you look at these graphs...
I would say for the bulk of the season,
it's beneficial every single time.
In the collection.
Brandon, I think you're absolutely right. As soon as you get even the start of this juvenile passion season start... But there are plenty of times, like early season, where we have almost no juveniles coming through, and we have a bunch of steelhead coming through.
At the end of the day, there was probably never a time when you wouldn't do this except in June. Probably in early June, or in the very very beginning of the season. So, Brandon, you're right.
We could do this if there's no juveniles. Would we?
No.
Well, no, but what you could do is...
No.
And that's...
No, you're right. Yeah, for the most of the time... You would do it, based on the data we have.
Honestly, you guys have basically set up our spill season to cover the bulk of the juvenile time. So you're probably going to have
you'd
juveniles
expect there.
Autumn
there
starts at a certain time for a reason.
Yeah. Right.
June 21.
Exactly.
Or the spring and summer.
June 20th.
June 20th.
It's July 20th is.
What is the solstice?
You go June 20th. So June 20th is when you go to summer. It's June 20th. It starts the summer, and then it starts to goes to July 21st. Well, then you go to the different summer operation.
The monitoring program starts in March, partially because
of there. But
there used to be a Spring Creek release.
But see, Brian, I think the reason I think we're so concerned is because we don't start spilling to April 10th. The question would be, before April 10th, you've got the bypass going. You don't have spill going. Do we even care? Because then fallback goes away, too.
One could argue that
at midpoint, start the season at midpoint.
If it's before
you're
April
probably
going to
run a midpoint until you hit sometime in late May, early June, when the adult numbers and juvenile numbers start dropping off. But juvenile's going to drop off faster, I think. Then you're going to
from a spring shift standpoint.
Right.
And then the question's
going to be. Well, then we'll have to get into the argument of sockeye and what we do with that, because that'll be the sockeye. But you'll have very few juvenile sockeye concurrent with large numbers.
You're not
going to
have many juveniles.
Well, but.
Right.
Do we? Yeah.
Spring Creek purposefully releases.
As long as we're prioritizing basically any adult that falls
in order to. Falls
in adult. We're not going to prioritize
that.
Right. So, yeah, so it'd be done at that point. It's like.
Juvenile collections.
Of course, somebody's ox no matter what I say here.
Yeah.
I think you're going to get an automatic benefit all the way through.
March 2 to
the flows drop off enough.
Yeah, flows drop way down. So.
0.1. So honestly, I see very few times we wouldn't be doing this operation. It's going to be just. It's going to come down to what do you do with the extra flow?
Right. So is are the juvenile to adult ratios in here based on the collection now, or is it still on the index?
What we put in here is based on the collection expanded to a population.
So
you could redo it back the other way, however you want to.
They
do
basically
it.
Yeah,
what is the overall project FGE of what's going through the bypass, and they expand that for that FGE number.
This I know
is
that just, that's not what the small.
But this is just a theoretical. This is just a theoretical ratio.
It
doesn't have to be based on reality. So we have to figure out for our purposes. We just want to look at it.
How do you make reality fit this?
Yeah, to see if how.
This is useful to see how this responds to the different juvenile to adult
Rick, you've seen the
ratio. Now to look and see what reality is as far as what are the
reality.
And the ratios are going to be completely dependent on what number you use. I mean, collection is a lower number. So your ratios are going to be...
Well, collection is...
But collection expanded to a population.
What represents what's going through the turbines? And through the
guidance efficiency.
Well, yeah. I mean, we generally have more fish in the collection than we do going through the turbines, don't we?
No.
The
efficiencies are in
not a power
passages.
No, because the collection is just a number based on the sample rate of the guys that's been monitoring program.
Mm-hmm. No, what's going to drive this is going to be the population of adults versus population of juveniles.
I think collection is the estimated populations of the bypass.
Yeah.
It's expanded, it's sample expanded.
For sample rate, yeah.
So now you have a population for the bypass. And if you adjust that for FGE, you have powerhouse.
Powerhouse.
If you adjust it for the power collector and
for
everything else, and all these adjustments. Yes.
But why would we use fish that are going through the bypass and going through spillway in this analysis? Shouldn't it be just fish that are going through the turbines and the bypass?
We need to
exact number of what Trevor was using. I need to figure out.
I believe what it is because don't forget, he was taking absolute numbers of populations and switching the population as a whole. Like he's going, okay, if we move so much flow, we're going to change the population at powerhouse. Two is going to change. Powerhouse one's going to increase. Spillway is going to increase a little bit. Blah 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 blah.
So he was basically calculating out a bypass number from that.
From the bypass, he was expanding it to a population passing Bonneville.
That's what I understood too.
That's what I understood.
His model. That's the way it's working. So
he's shifting the juveniles around from powerhouse one to the other appropriate.
He's better
location.
Than I am with Excel. We'll like it.
I don't know. His model wasn't that.
I'm going to let you speed on that one.
I think you're absolutely right. Honestly, from the ratio standpoint, I see very few times when the adult ratio is going to drive us to say, oh, we should do this operation. Because when it is, it's going to be one. We probably won't be spilling. It's going to be.
Honestly, I have.
I know juvenile time, anyways, which we've been doing. So
this wouldn't be, you're saying, because of the juvenile. Adult presence that this might not happen in the summer, that you're not thinking about this being a sub-yearling operation because we'll have less spill with the summer
spill.
Flows
generally aren't going to really.
The flows are going to be low enough.
In general.
Yeah.
These past 2 years being the exception, I guess.
Yeah.
And
Who knows?
Who knows?
I mean, we were able to stop even this year by what?
Started to load back up on snow.
June 6th, I think, was the last
early
one.
June.
That was the bookend. And so that's, I think, we'll
the
hit.
Last date of the operation?
I think so. That was the last talk I wanted.
I don't think it's going to be. And again, the juvenile data didn't show.
The
Gilbert's work didn't show.
Stop using
the statistical difference either. So we're starting to get into a weaker response.
No, I think it throughout the
really, it would be sockeye. I'd be going to my work. Sockeye is going to run through.
River run subulating seemed pretty resilient.
I'm assuming we just
did we go back to mid range at both.
The subulating releases from
Spring Creek.
Yeah,
there's no Spring Creek releases. Here, so we're fine.
But you raise a good question because that's the point. I
the think, whole point is to never do one or to get away from using the upper end of 1%.
Correct, and that gets back to, I think, to what the Corps and BPA need to commit to doing for this year is your question and chase that down because that's there was an ambiguous conversation exactly that in last year where people were like, well, we just do it. When we have hydraulic capacity, it's not a limitation issue. We just target the midpoint and everything's fine. And they'd be like, what are you talking about? The project has no guidance to that end. They just do 1%. And so we.
Actually, no, you do have guidance in the FPP. Yeah, no one put a change form to change that. It's still in there.
Right. But we
and by the way, I didn't say anything about
right.
that.
No.
When I was talking about
oops.
That was in there, and I think we fully acknowledged that
yeah.
in the regional forum
so
last year that we didn't do what's in our operative documents.
Well, we're going to be asking you to do that.
Right. And that's all I'm saying, though, is that
it's
before we.
Ambiguous, how even
it says it operates in midpoint unless it causes gas problems.
I know.
So that's actually not that ambiguous.
No, it's pretty
straightforward.
Yeah. I mean,
the question becomes
the season, you probably they would tell you you have to do that.
Yeah.
Now as you get later on gas starts to become an issue, then
that's
gonna
start.
Then
things change.
Then things change, and that's why I wrote the paragraph I wrote in there because I still don't see the gas to be an issue. But the plan says what it says. We're not, you know, rollover being what it is and all that. I know how hard that
this is gonna be one of the few things that well, this is gonna be what I'm gonna say, I'm not gonna support that change. If they can't support McNary, Lord. So, long and short, the only thing I do see that we could possibly move on would be if fallbacks are main driver, what about nighttime operation? There's that 8 to 9 hour time. There's that 8 to 9 hour time frame where fallback really drops off about after 9 o'clock at night.
Gonna make a note to yourself to think about that.
Did the data show that
during?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
That's
almost
a
no-brainer,
actually.
Oh, it was on. I had 10 hits.
Website.
University of Idaho.
It's not because you didn't share it with me. It's
so just based on the ratio.
University of Idaho did a
little table for me. And
that's
a breakout of when fallback occurred and that kind of stuff. That's on the website. It's in the FPOM subdoctory. And Cadell had Kiefer do a little write-up on when fallbacks occur. And that was, I mean, I guess the kind of the quick response was that there was enough nighttime fallback occurring
was
directly
was
after that that would be an issue.
There was enough?
There was.
To a certain point. After about 10 o'clock at night, I wouldn't have worried about it.
Yeah. It
from
early,
10 to 5,
it was early on.
From 10 to 5, you're fine. The rest of the time,
I mean,
you
can derate
for 8 hours, you could basically say, dull fallback is not an issue. And this would also get into Benton's rolling reserve concept because it would play well with that. So at nighttime, they might be willing to do a change operation. Now, would that be, I don't know. That was the one thing I think we could probably get agreement from everyone on.
Mm-hmm.
At night, we might be able to do
only
something.
Only doing this from 10 to 5.
10 to 5 for 8 hours a day.
But
what?
And I'm not familiar with the
Dial
pattern of juveniles. Is that
it's
kind
about
of 50-50 juveniles?
About 30%. Because it's about a third of the time.
It's day or night or flat, but the hourly
dusk.
Unless it's spring
because
creeks.
The day is 16 hours and there's 8 hours of night.
Unless you're talking spring creek juveniles, and those guys come in as slugs, and but they do them early in the morning, which means they get to Bonneville generally that night.
And then they bomb through.
And they bomb through.
There's no
diurnal
that I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Well, and honestly, if we want to, what we could do is maybe have you guys release them a little later in the day. So they come through at dark 30. I'm just saying release them at like at noon. Because the travel time there, they probably come, the bulk of them probably come through around
8 or 9.
Well, that's where lean, where a better operation, where we're forced to be. I mean, I'd like to be running this
all the time. I'm just saying, if we wanted to get that, I'm just throwing this out as a possibility. If we wanted to get change from that we could all sign on to,
right,
we could at least say we could do a nighttime operation. Yeah. Now, getting to a 24-hour operation may be something we can't get group agreement on. That's why I'm just throwing this out.
Yeah, I got it. Yeah, that's good.
I've got to look at my alternatives.
Yep.
So, and looking at the passage and what Trevor and I came with is about a 30% of the population would have this improvement.
What data did you use? Did you use way back or just the last? Just like
the last.
The stuff from Boston.
Yeah.
That's probably the best. Well, that's a good point.
If you want to incorporate that in there,
take a shot at it and put that in there. That some Dial.
And Tammy's got the tables are on the website, so you can.
That's kind of Doug's thing. You got your temporal issues, and you got a Dial issue as well here. The operation.
But that's way more implement. I mean, as far as some initial comments that were made at the onset of this meeting was to having all these conversations, but then thinking about how do we implement it? Stuff like that is, as you're probably aware, is from a core perspective, so much more doable. When we know start times, and so once you start getting into this chasm of, have significant numbers passed or. It just turns into a logistical challenge. So the more you can have it date-specific, time-specific. And I know nobody wants to go there because they want to say, well, I don't want to go date-time-specific because then we'll lose flexibility.
I'm sure glad that he's going to be that way when I bring the kill trigger back up.
That'll be awesome.
Where's the 18th of March?
Date-specific.
Simple.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Or you?
No, I'd rather. No. Yeah. Well,
Cameron, you got that?
No.
Yeah. Start 18th of March.
He said okay.
Regardless.
No, I guess.
Yeah, but BPA's not here, and they'll fight it.
Well,
so is that?
I would hold off on making a recommendation for this year because there could be information that changes your mind.
I.e., we're not going to have screens in. So we would
need what?
No screens.
I didn't say that.
VO2.
It doesn't take much to figure that one out. With the zoo that they've got going on over there, and they're going to ask for a new water work extension, the screens aren't going to be coming until later.
Wait,
it doesn't.
So does this game get
to no, it doesn't take too much to figure this out, though.
Screens need to be in March
1. Have you talked to Tackley?
No. Yeah.
Wait.
Yeah, for an hour this morning. And
yeah,
wasn't
he didn't bring that up.
Screens.
I know he didn't bring that up.
Amazing. I told him he was already on the edge of take of a lawsuit.
Oh, well, I guess technically screens can be in, but we couldn't operate any units.
Yeah. Well, okay. And I asked him, I told him about that too, and I said, you need a unit operate at least at night every other day.
They should be able to get
or
that.
Or even all day every other day.
Well, yeah,
say that again.
Run unit 12 every other day. He and I had a long discussion about that. That was just one of my.
We'll be there for
one of my and this is for Winter Steelhead.
I don't know. It's not my coordination form. I'm waiting to see it, just like everyone else.
He's going to be bored off his booty.
Oh, that's an interesting one.
Hey, the fish come in.
Yeah, well, the few fish that are there in March come in, but they're generally aided by screens.
And they're also aided by having
the few fish that are there in March, I'm not sure what they're going to do.
They're not operating Powerhouse 1. Our Powerhouse
2. There might be very little flow of Powerhouse 2 if you're lucky to waste them at night, but that's basically about it.
Okay, then I still go back to 17th. This is only supposed to last for the first 2 weeks of March.
The one thing we're running
is second powerhouse.
The corn infection.
When we run second powerhouse, this just makes my point.
That doesn't help.
On the 17th of March, I want to see that.
No, it does help.
Get a hoop net.
Start,
huh?
And run for.
The thing is, you're talking about the corn clip
passage. That's based on my recommendation from last year.
Right.
I wrote it all up, and it's in the record. There's a whole rationale based on the data.
My understanding, the screens wouldn't be in place, so you wouldn't be able to enumerate their points.
No
point to have the conversation. So I wasn't aware that.
But okay. Everybody that we have to coordinate with agrees.
Okay. Oh, sure. I know who would be
a discussion. Don't take anything as gospel at this point.
No, I'm not. It changes every day. So.
Yeah.
And that might be your fallback position to negotiate. Because really, for Kels, we won't need until the 15th. Unless it's really, really Kels.
As standard practice.
I think the first makes much more sense. But
what's that?
Well, Tackley was going to basically nuke the whole kill trigger anyways, because he was just going to say, let's have the corn clutch open on the first.
Let her rip. Yeah.
So we
talked about that today,
and then
too.
Then there is no kill trigger.
Right.
The corn clutch open.
No,
so that's the only reason
that's not what they're going to do.
But I thought that was...
Well,
because screens weren't going to be in and that you wouldn't be able to enumerate.
Well, that's part of the reason. But you're going to have people like BPA going, why am I opening the corner collector?
Right.
Because
John's got to get through somehow.
It's going to be really interesting fitterwing, and I hope you all will be able to make it, because there will be lots of discussion that I am excited to record.
So, when is this fitterwing?
Next Thursday.
Next Thursday. So my suggestion that I was going to throw out that we have another one of these
meetings
after fitterwing probably isn't going to be a good idea.
Well, it may be, because all of this will have been discussed, and so everybody should have all the information in the
is change form going to be, is in your reading of crystal balls, tea leaves, are we going to see change form before that meeting or at the meeting?
A coordination form?
Yeah.
For Bonneville?
For Bonneville. Ideally, it'd be nice to have it before the meeting so we can actually hold it beforehand.
Well, they know that a coordination form requires 2 weeks to coordinate, and if they want an answer by the February FPOM meeting, they need to have it by the end of this week at the latest. So I would hope that you would see one. If there will be one coming, I would hope that you would see it this week. Chris, I said that 3 weeks ago.
I know. I've been expecting one every day.
Every week. I think everybody is.
Okay. So, long and short, the other issue I had with the operation thing was, if we're going to have flow bands or triggers, we're going to have to figure out some way to, because obviously if we're hanging those flow bands and it keeps flipping back and forth.
Oh, that would be a nightmare.
Well, what you have to do is you have to do what we do with the TSWs if we're taking them in and out. Is like, if it hits the flow band and for the general STP is
going. And how did we achieve your desired expectations?
If Ann had listened to me and actually used this DPI head.
How did that work? How did we.
For the most part, it works. It works better than nothing. But I would say that's the only way I could see working it out. It's like if you say, okay, our trigger's 265 and the flow from STP is going to be continuing up, then you do one thing. If you're on your way up, you're going to.
That is so rational.
But we won't do it, so.
What are you talking about now?
Well,
Tom had a novel idea to create a Bonneville trigger similar to how we make weir adjustments based on a forecast, and then let's just say you had a forecast.
Or I have one forecast and you have a different forecast that you sent me instead of your forecast.
You're right.
And then
I know.
And then you glued criteria and you achieve those, then you would make the change.
Oh, that was
that was real success. That was successful how we pulled that off.
Well, honestly though, that was like the weirdest
improvement, I guess.
And honestly, that was the weirdest coincidence from us. And also the thing is, that was just I was more irritable because of.
You got the wrong forecast?
No.
I got to remember to do that one again. Here's bombs.
I got the right forecast. That actually was correct.
You got the right one.
So I got you guys a secret forecast that you don't send out to anyone. I don't. Right. Oh, damn, you gave me the right one.
Yeah.
No, I mean, the main thing about that was the reason I was upset was because you'd asked for coordination.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It was like, oh, it's too late. We can't do it. And I was like, well, wait a minute. So
thank you.
That's water well over a dam long ago.
Yeah, no, but still fresh in my...
And yet you still bring it up.
I can't help it, because every time we have a conversation about...
Should I ask him if it's is this capitalized or not capitalized?
Yeah, this isn't that big a deal, though.
No, it's not. I'm just thinking...
Units, it's just an adjustment.
Well, I'm just saying, you know how we... If we use the Trevor concept, if we're using the Trevor concept, where we're saying, like, hey, at 235... The problem is 235 is a hard number, and you know the flow, the river can jump around that.
Well, this isn't going to be based on a flow forecast. It's going to be based on a ratio.
That's actually worse. So like
that
every
change that is not.
Well, the question is, how would we come up with? Is this a day-to-day phone call we make? Today do it. No, we don't do it.
Well, I don't know that it's going to be that. Well, we'd have to go through. We could do a simulation from a year.
That's what
we see.
What
happens?
And Brent is probably going to write like, hey.
Could you do your March 15th KELP trigger to pick a date metric?
Where as long as someone else does it, someone from NOAA comes up with that.
I would argue
this model runs
developing triggers based on some normative values.
Get a reality.
The probability of checking in at this level
ratio,
and actually have your different model situations be.
This is for.
I know you like the TMT
spring summer.
We'll probably
check on it.
I'd rather do it date specific or somehow chunk it up.
Mm-hmm. And that would put us through July for Sockeye.
Yeah, well, you're all out there a little further than we are right now, so more to come.
July Sockeye adults?
Juveniles. The thing was, juveniles usually come by what?
June.
That's what I'm saying.
Sockeye.
So can I ask one more dumb question then?
This is pretty much close to July.
So could we just walk through a couple scenarios of what?
Okay.
What would starting in April, what would based on the premise of the memo, best case scenario, what we've all heard to date. I know there's more work that needs to be done, but I just want to hear the synthesis.
Start in April, you start spill.
April 10th.
Yeah,
April
10th. But I'm just saying, what would the desired, based on what we know now, what would the desired operation look like, starting with, can you explain to me how you'd want one and two brought up, and then switching over, well, and then best geometry or not to best geometry?
What you do is you start with, as long as flows are below whatever your hydraulic capacity,
right,
powerhouse
so
two is
235 plus, or something, whatever we can.
Probably with. Around that is, yeah. 235, because I think powerhouse two at midpoint plus spill is probably about
times.
235.
Yeah.
Plus or minus whatever wiggle
so
waggle number you've got.
235.
Right, you go over. 215,
actually.
235. Yeah, you're
235, because
right.
With all the flow and the adult ladders and spillage, right. And blah, 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 blah. So at 235, you're fine. You basically at midpoint, everything's good.
Okay.
Now
okay,
you go above that 235. Now you're going above that. At that point, you need to make a decision. Do you go to powerhouse one? Do you go to powerhouse two? And that's where I would take a look at. I think the default would be you go to powerhouse one, unless you have 100,000 adults and almost no juveniles.
Okay, so when you say go to powerhouse one, you're saying bring it up to best geometry. So you take another.
No, you first go. All you do is just go. It's not on yet. So you go first. You go to whatever the unit priority is.
Okay.
And you bring it up to the 1% range.
All the standard
okay.
protocol right now.
And if
I didn't even realize that was an option to go to bump up powerhouse. It would be better to bump up powerhouse two before bumping up powerhouse one.
The only time that would be is if you basically have a bunch of adults and almost no juveniles. And I think Brandon's probably right that that's almost never going to be a situation that we need to think about.
Okay.
But we need to go through and do some truth checking on that, take a look at these ratios. And I need to get a hold of Trevor to figure out what number I use for juveniles to look at the adult ratio.
Yeah, I wasn't
yeah,
sure.
Is it powerhouse 2 or is it full
yeah,
dam?
Full population. That's, yeah. That's the question we need to
I
ask.
I am not sure either. We talked about expanding the risk, but I'm not sure which actual number you use. So.
But yeah, at 215 and below, it is a no-brainer.
Okay.
As you go up
right.
to, you know, then you're, so basically powerhouse 2 comes up, mm-hmm. you're fully loaded the powerhouse 2 to the midpoint.
Yep.
Now powerhouse 1 comes up.
Well, for end spill, and then.
Well, powerhouse 1 before, okay, then when the spill season hits, it's the other way around.
Spill's
then you spill.
The first thing.
Spill would be yeah. first, but, you know, yeah. I don't know that I'd want to wait until. Mm-hmm. Until April,
yeah. April 10th.
To do this.
Prior to April 10th.
If we have juveniles,
no.
You won't do that.
I don't want to make any wells going around.
Yeah.
Can you finish your logic there? So as far as April 10 on, where
well, that's where you guys okay. start. You guys started April 10th. So
right.
April 10th, you got
spill priority, then you got 100K spill.
Right.
That's fine. Boom.
So 100K.
Then you got powerhouse 2 up to midpoint.
Up to midpoint.
Whatever that
midpoint.
Is.
Then you go to powerhouse 1, you bring it up until you hit the upper end of 1%. Now what do? Well, we go on up to open geometry point. At that point, then you go over to spill, and you spill until the cows come home.
Okay.
And that's what we did
and
last year.
We'll hit a problem there
yeah.
because BPL say, no, we don't spill,
right.
we go to second
no,
powerhouse.
We said,
so we'll have that argument.
Right.
We'll lose.
Well, no,
because
what it is, don't forget, what we said is 1%, the Jim Cale tables, is best geometry, open point, whatever you want to call it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
They have a physical capacity beyond that, which is called generator max.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's an additional probably...
But
9, 10K?
Yeah, something
so
like that.
So the only difference really from what
12.
We did last year is that
generator
limit. After powerhouse 1 reaches open geometry, we would go to the spillway
with
instead of raising powerhouse 2
right.
beyond the
well, no.
That's the
right, but that was your original yeah. recommendation anyway,
yep.
and we ignored it. So
well,
we're basically
we didn't
right
do it at
to
first, but we did go there after, I think, for the sockeye. That's what we did. We didn't go above 50% at powerhouse 2. For
we
a number of weeks, yeah, we were. Above
well, that's when
right, but
and
we,
Dennis went
we were
to
running best geometry though to the dislike
well, we
of the
region.
No, you weren't
yeah.
even best geometry. You
well,
were
was our
your generation
was our 2012 best
yeah.
geometry.
We'll say don't
but,
do that,
which
yeah.
wasn't really best geometry.
Right,
but the agreement
but,
was that we wouldn't go above that. That was a hard constraint, 50%
yeah.
cap.
Yeah, see, this is what honestly we're arguing.
We would
have
spilled more if we would have.
Yeah, this is what we're honestly arguing over. It's like 12K. We're honestly arguing over 12K.
Exactly.
Which is. Mm-hmm. Awesome.
So this isn't really an issue until you get up to about above 300s where you're
exactly.
actually, then you have to make that decision. Do we go
at some point it becomes the full 30.
And
well, it will.
It becomes the full 30 at some point.
Well, because first what you do is you got,
because that's when powerhouse 1 is fully loaded.
Well, and it's basically it's around 300.
Because
well, it's actually it's not even the full 30. Well, it is because there's that 12.
But whatever
12
the
plus the
X, for powerhouse,
yeah. the 12 plus whatever you had one in there. So actually, it's going to be super
yeah.
high flows when you
it
is out of control.
Well.
So
I think
what is the what would your estimate be of powerhouse 2 midpoint spill and then powerhouse 1 at best geometry.
Yeah, so that would have been the number, I just added that one. So powerhouse 1 at 100, but just a wag.
That's probably
that's
a powerhouse 2, 105 at 15. KCFS times 7 units is 105. 100K spill plus 12. 1, 2, 305 plus 317. So I came up with 317 would be your, I hope we stand her 317 card, and once you'd have to 317.
Once you get to 317, then you start. Then the question becomes.
That's when we come into play.
Right. Well, and then the question. Well, actually, it doesn't come into play because
this has already come into play because you are going to.
Yeah. So Gary, what would you at 317? Yeah. We would say you go to spill. You take that extra flow after 317, and you go to
spillway or powerhouse.
You go to spillway unless
right.
unless adults are basically.
So you fill. Okay, I was just checking what Trevor's numbers were here, but you. What you're filling
powerhouse
up
two.
Is power, spill's filled.
Yep.
Powerhouse 2 is filled, the midpoint. Powerhouse 1's up to the open geometry level.
Right.
Then you go to spill, and you know that's where the argument's going to be.
Right.
We go to spill. We go, you know, spill. It would be up to 30K more because you're derating powerhouse 2 by 30K,
and you're not picking up best geometry.
And you're not picking that back up again. There, you're going to spill. So that's 30K more spill that you're going to have, but you could put in powerhouse.
Right.
We're saying no. We don't want to do that because of
well, it's actually it's even more than that because it's 30K plus the additional little bit extra that you could go from best geometry point to generator max.
No, that's never that's not part of the discussion.
But
don't even bring that up.
I'm not going to. But there's a guy who's pretty big, wears a black cape, and breathes in a lot heavily. That is going to.
He's going to. This is all about. We will. I will stop that.
Okay.
That will not happen.
That will not happen.
I will check to see the. I will check to see the. I will check to see the tires tracks over your back when that happens. But
you won't. You won't.
I think. Well, I'm just saying. You're not going to get me disagreeing with you.
No, no, but I won't give on that one.
But Scott has brought that up numerous times about this.
But the TSP, Corps of Engineers' own turbine program says don't do it.
I thought it was the river that allowed us to.
And a biop says operate those turbine units for best survival.
Policy decision time and time
it says
again,
that. You want to violate the biop, go ahead.
We're not derating units. Okay. Have a nice day.
As long as
wherever you are.
As long as we're good there.
No, that one's not even an issue. That shouldn't even come on the table. But the issue of 30K of spill, that's going to be
well, the 30K of powerhouse too. Yeah. After 317 or 3 whatever,
maybe another
317. There comes the question: is where do you go at that point?
Right. Well, we there is no question.
Right, which
you
I
go
didn't
to spill.
Think we were ever doing
well,
that
makes the most sense.
That's why I wrote the gas thing. It's not a gas issue.
Maybe that's
so you go to spill.
We had to run.
And we're
going to
be told no.
So you wouldn't plug the screen.
And then we'll say, we told you. You'll do what you're going to do, but we told you what we thought was best for fish.
So what we've done is we've given them a little extra powerhouse 1, and then after 317, we've taken back.
No, I'll go back.
Now, is that acceptable change?
That's the whole crux of the whole conversation.
And that's
where
it's really...
No.
Far
too true. Well, we haven't given... What do you mean given?
We haven't allowed flexibility that now they can use this powerhouse 1 flexibility of going above
1%. I get so where I'm thinking that's just hardwired, but it's not.
It's not.
A gift.
You're right.
We could just say at the top of
1%.
Go spell.
Yeah.
So there, we're calling.
That might be what Russ would say.
Yeah,
he was in the room.
I know some others that would say that.
Well, he should be saying it then.
We have, but I didn't listen to him.
Well, I'm saying if we could get them to agree that after 317 they go to spill instead of back to go to generate max or back to powerhouse 2, I would give the cough of 12 at powerhouse 1.
If you guys want to go down that road, I mean, don't you say it. If you think that going to open geometry is the wrong thing to do, then we're downward, you know, you ratchet that down, that whole thing to spill occurs at a 15K less.
Yeah. About 302.
You're talking about powerhouse 1?
Yes.
Yeah, that difference.
Yeah. Well,
I personally don't think that's necessary, but if you guys believe it, I mean, the difference between, I know what you're looking at, you know, you got spill, which you're assuming you get a better survival rate through spill than you do through the turbines, which is a good assumption for steelhead, not so good for Chinook, but maybe Chinook latent mortality overrides that from turbines, I don't know, and we don't have the data.
So it's kind of a toss-up. If you're only looking at that really Chinook, you know, Chinook survival through those turbine units was measured at 99%. Yeah. I mean, it was much higher than the spillway, but for stealing, it wasn't. Why? Bigger fish don't do so well through turbines?
Actually, an easier way to do this would be to...
Bigger fish do better than the spillway?
Though, Research was telling me that Wertheimer's study showed that kelps going through the turbines had a better return rate than those going through the
way. Oh, don't do that.
For two of them?
That was because...
For the whole two.
Or was it three?
Yeah, I wrote up a response to that. That's what it was. There was such a low number that...
Well, it was a low number, and it was also... The problem is... And the fish that do best are the ones that are basically early season when you're not providing corn and clucker and you're not providing spill.
That's right.
It was an unfair comparison.
Right.
If we were providing spill and corn and clucker at the same time, then
I have a memo for that, Tammy.
We do.
It's in the record.
I actually wrote one too. So nice try, though. Tell Rarefish don't go there. He'll be sorry. He will have knots on his melon.
No, he will have knots, and that's that was a hard one.
So tell him to wear a helmet and Langley wear shingles.
Okay. Been through all this stuff so many times.
So long and short, so due outs. Definition of midpoint, we need to get that.
Yeah.
Make sure that's understood. And do we need a table? What do
we need
to do?
A table from HDC, something official core table that they can program in and say this is what it is. Defined by the Corps of Engineers, midpoint.
Can I ask you a dumb question, Tammy?
I thought we had.
Does Jim Keel talk to the operators?
Powerhouse 1. We don't powerhouse 2.
I'm not sure, but I know I that John...
We asked for it, yes, but we never got it.
Jim's not talking to the operators.
Now, if we want, we need to say, the 25% or the 50%, if we want to leave it vague. If we actually want a hard number, we need to...
I think we want a hard number.
What else do you need?
Based on what was in that time.
Well, I'm going to take a look at the day-night. There's
the nighttime, the option, the fallback option, which I don't really want to get too far into until we have to. The fallback is to look at day versus night operations, separate options.
Well, that was my next. So first we have definition of midpoint.
Definition of midpoint. Let me
write this
down. Definition of midpoint. Second one we had is...
By definition of the midpoint, you just want the midpoint.
Table.
Ideal a table would, I think, be the most. If we can't get a table, we could eat by with a percent
Gary,
thing.
And I can talk to you offline about this. But if you could send a request from FPOM, as an FPOM representative, not a TSP group representative, requesting that table in.
Like go further?
Not a TSP, but an FPOM.
That's hilarious. That pond has more weight than TSP. Awesome.
I thought we already did that, but okay.
Did you define which hat you were wearing?
No.
He's Noah. Just critics. Noah had. That's how
I was. Well, I didn't go far.
Well, it doesn't.
It does.
So the second thing I've got out is getting an update from Brad on the Patel Beta data mining. That was another kind of outstanding. Third was getting our arms around Trevor's ratios. Understanding that. Trevor Juvenal ratios. Before
not
it was...
Not so much the ratio as the juvenile number.
Juvenile number used in the ratio.
Population estimate or whatever, yeah.
Yeah. So, and then the last one I had was day-night operation. What do you want to do with that? Because Scott indicated last time I was talking to him that was something he would do.
Didn't sound like it.
Potentially even to harass. That was something he thought he could
you do it
agree to. The rest of the stuff, I'm
not
good.
It is.
It's probably agrees with us till about run away.
Thank you. That's why.
I didn't bring Scott's hand.
Is
anyone on the phone?
Upper hand for like 30 seconds.
Yeah. Good.
No,
I'm
sorry.
I'm so little of you at these meetings.
What about it?